While doing research for her book, For Women Only, Shanti Feltan asked a group of men, what's the one most important thing that you wish your wife knew?
The top answer by far that I got was the one most important thing they wish their wife knew was how much I love her.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Friday, July 5th. All week, Nancy Lee DeMoss has been talking with Shanti Feltan, who's the author of For Women Only. Barbara Rainey has been joining in on those conversations as well. When we first aired this interview some years back on Revive Our Hearts, listeners really responded enthusiastically. They wanted to get a copy of Shanti's book to better understand the way men think. Well, fast forward to 2013. Shanti just released a revised and updated edition of For Women Only. Yesterday, she told us about some of the new material she included in the book. And if you missed it, you can hear it at reviveourhearts.com. Later today, we'll hear more from Shanti Feltan about new material in her book. First, we'll hear from that Revive Our Hearts classic between Nancy, Barbara, and Shanti, one of our all-time most popular series.
Now, we're going to put together here in this last session a couple of insights that you gain, and it has to do with the concept that men are visual. And again, that probably doesn't come as any great surprise, but some of the implications of that were a surprise to you as you did this survey.
Yeah, absolutely, because one of the things that I realized is that I'd heard in premarital counseling and many other places that, you know, my husband was visual, and then I realized I didn't know what that meant, really.
And what does it mean?
here's really what it means. And okay, ladies, you know, hold on to your seats here for a minute and have an open mind as we talk about this, because some of this can be a little hard to hear, frankly.
Or hard to believe,
right, exactly. And really what men are visual means is two separate things that are related. It means that a man is wired in such a way that he can't not notice a woman with an attractive figure. He just can't not notice her.
Now, you're talking about godly men, mature men,
wonderful
men.
Christian husbands. Yeah, all men. And it doesn't have anything to do with sin. This is an initial temptation. It said, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way and yet without sin. This initial attraction to not be able to not notice this woman is an involuntary reflex. And by the way, the scripture can bear this out very easily. If you look at Job, God said Job was the finest man in all the earth.
Yes.
Okay, so
righteous.
The most righteous man in all the earth. And this man even had to say, I had to make a covenant with my eyes to not look with lust upon a young woman. Okay, so if Job had this struggle, every man has this struggle. So that's the first thing that men
which
are visual
is very
means.
Hard for us as women to understand, mm-hmm. because most of us
are not wired
that way.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so here's that was the first thing. Here's the second thing that it means is that image of that woman that he just couldn't not notice is burned into his brain and becomes part of what my husband calls a mental Rolodex of images that stretch back to his teen years that can arise at any time in his mind without warning. This picture just sort of pops into his mind without warning, and it could assault him basically at any time of the day. And I didn't really understand what this meant. And one day, and I'll explain this in the same way that I found out about it, which was we were driving in the car one day and Jeff said, you know, I bet you do understand what this means. And maybe we're just using different words to describe it. So, okay, let me give you this illustration. You remember this movie we went to last week with Tom Cruise? Yeah. Okay, you think he's an attractive man, right? Yeah. Okay, so how many times the next day does this image of Tom Cruise with his shirt off just sort of rise up in your head? And I said,
let me guess.
Never. Never.
Zero.
And he said, no, I must not be explaining myself correctly. You know, you're just sitting at your computer, you're working on a column or something, you're not doing anything sensual, and a picture of Tom Cruise with his shirt off just sort of flashes across the screen of your mind. How many times does that happen the next day? Never. It just doesn't happen. And I realized this is what goes on in the minds of our men all day.
All the time.
every day they have these images that rise up and can really assault them without warning. And for any man who wants to keep his thought life pure, that's when he has the choice. That's when the temptation rises up and he has a choice of what's he going to do about it. And they have to basically take that thought captive, say, I don't want that in there, and tear it down. And you know what? If they're having a hard day, it could pop up again 5 seconds later. Ugh, I don't want that there. Take it captive. Tear it down. And this culture, because it's a minefield of those images, many men have described this as exhausting.
And so a wife needs to appreciate and honor the fact that her husband is making the effort and has the commitment to make those right choices when he does.
And she needs to thank him.
Yeah.
For being pure and for wanting to be faithful and for talking about this with her. I mean, it's one of the things that I value most in my relationship with my husband is that he feels like he can confide in me when he is faced with temptation or when he's struggling in some area. He'll talk to me about it. And I feel so honored that he feels safe with me and that we can talk about it. And I can say thank you for wanting to do what's right. Thank you for doing what's right. Thank you for not dwelling on those things, for not lingering on a channel on the TV when you're changing channels and all of that kind of thing. And I'm so grateful. And I make sure he knows that I'm grateful for that commitment that he has.
But your husband's not going to feel free or safe to let you know he struggles if he knows that when he shares that struggle, you're going to freak out.
That's right. He won't. And if when he shares that, not only will you freak out, but if he shares a need to be with you intimately, physically, sexually, you're not interested, you don't respond, you don't welcome him, he's thinking, why should I talk to her about it? She doesn't get it. And the truth is, many women don't get it.
Now, the fact that men are wired this way, that they are so visual, says something also about the importance to those men of their own wife's physical appearance.
Mm-hmm. You know, this was actually a very important light bulb to me that went on, especially because I had just had two kids. I was 20 pounds overweight, and I just didn't think that it affected anybody but me. You know, really, honestly, that's the way I felt about it. And instead, a man shared, he said, you know what, this is such a blind spot for so many women. They don't realize the importance of this. And the good thing that I learned that was such an encouragement, because it's very hard to hear this, is that for men, it's not about being a size 3. Mm-hmm. And of course, for me, I say, good thing. It's not going to happen. But it's not about being tiny. It's about our men simply seeing us being willing to make the effort to take care of ourselves for them and to have the just really taking the time to put ourselves together well. And what a blessing it is to know that that's important. Because, you know, frankly, I think we say it's what's on the inside that matters. We've come to this idea that what's on the outside doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And instead, we just need to deal with reality on this and recognize to our husband that it does. And thankfully, again, recognizing that it's about them seeing us being willing to make the effort.
And let me illustrate that with an email that we received. Most of the emails we receive are from women, but this one came from a man who said exactly this. He said, when my wife and I dated, it was so wonderful. We loved spending time with each other. She took care of herself. She took care of our home. She took care of me after we got married. And then he described some work-related issues that came up, some financial issues. She had a baby. And in a process of marriage, years in their marriage, some things changed in her heart. And he said she became a very unhappy camper. And all this time, he says she also has the extra weight from the baby. She's growing heavier. She was once a very neat person. She no longer keeps the house clean and tidy. She's let herself go physically. She's at least 60 pounds overweight. And he said, I know it shouldn't, but this has become a huge issue for me personally. He says, quite honestly, this is hard for me to understand. I come home each day from an intense work situation. She's not dressed attractively. And then he says, I know that's not possible every day. But he says, 9 days out of 10, the house is a wreck. She and our daughter are fighting with each other. Welcome home, honey. I just want to go back to work. And then he says what you just said, Shanti, if I could even see some small efforts to please me as a husband, such as trying to control the weight and look more attractive, parentheses, I'm often embarrassed in public. I'm not saying this is a right attitude. I'm just being honest. He said, if I could just see some efforts, I would at least see some light at the end of the tunnel. And he's really saying that when a wife doesn't take care of herself, that the man feels unvalued and rejected.
And, you know, the other thing that I hear from him is the same thing that I've heard from so many men, that same sentiment, and the sentiment that she doesn't understand how hard it is for me in this culture to go through my day, all day, every day, making an effort to keep my eyes off of other women.
Mm-hmm.
She expects me, and I want to make that effort to try to keep my thought life pure for her, and to recognize that it's that same kind of willingness to make an effort on her part to do something that will help me in that process.
Shanti, at the end of your survey, you asked men, what is the one thing you most wish that your wife understood, that she knew about you? And you were really surprised at the answer that stood out from all those responses.
You know, I was just blown away. I gave men a blank space to answer that question of what's the one most important thing you wish your wife knew, but feel you can't explain to her or tell her. I gave them a blank space, and I thought really they'd probably use it to vent. I mean, really, that's what I expected. And instead, the top answer by far that I got was the one most important thing they wish their wife knew was how much I love her. That blew me away because I realized that most of the men in our lives are good guys who love us, adore us, cherish us, and feel absolutely handicapped at really getting that across. And I did a talk recently where a man came up to me afterwards after I had shared this and said, you know, it's not even so much that I feel like I can't tell her this. It's that I can't tell her this in a way that she'll really believe me and get the depth of how I feel about her. And what an encouragement to us to recognize that we have such an opportunity to build the men in our lives up and that they want to do the same thing for us.
And you know, women, it's as we receive the love, the incredible unconditional love that God has for us, that we grow in our capacity to give and receive love from others. So if there's an issue in your marriage, and there is in every marriage, where the love isn't as what it ought to be, the intimacy isn't at the level that it ought to be, the starting place is in your relationship with the Lord. As with every issue in life, it all goes back to your relationship with Jesus Christ. To have been loved by Him, and to receive His love with gratitude and with faith, and realizing it's His love is grace. It's not something we deserve. It's just that He is a lover, and He loves us with a dying and undying love, infinitely, eternally. What can ever separate us from the love of Christ? As you begin to, by faith, receive that love, I think you'll find that you have a greater capacity to believe and receive the love that your husband said in this survey he really does want you to know that he has for you.
We've been listening to Nancy Lee DeMoss talking with Shanti Feldhahn about her book For Women Only, and Barbara Rainey joined them as well. I mentioned earlier that when we first aired that interview several years ago, our listeners responded like crazy, with gusto. They were intrigued by this topic and wanted to get a copy of the book. In the years since then, Shanti has continued to research these topics and speak with women. One of the topics she's been studying is that of women in the workplace. Since men are very visual, like we've been hearing on today's program, how should that affect the way women dress in the office? Our team recently caught up with Shanti and talked with her about modesty in the workplace.
When a guy sees a woman who's dressing in a way that calls overt attention to a good figure, like, let's just say cleavage, it turns out there's a part of the brain in the back of the brain stem, and the back of the brain, you know, is the area that controls things like digestion and breathing that you don't think about. This area of the brainstem is called the nucleus accumbens. It's this little center, and it lights up when, for example, you haven't eaten all day and you walk into a room and you see food across the room. And it's this gut level. You're drawn to consume that food. You're not thinking, oh, I am hungry. I want some food. It's there's an automatic biological response that happens where you're drawn to that. And then your thinking centers kick in and you can decide whether or not, yeah, it's time for dinner. I can go eat, or no, I got to wait because I'm meeting my husband for dinner. Well, when a man sees a woman who's dressed in that way, like with a low cut top or whatever, his nucleus accumbens lights up. This part in the back of the brain does the exact same thing. And he's automatically gut level drawn to that image. And he automatically views that very sexually. And then his thinking centers kick in and he goes, whoa, wait a minute, stop it. Don't think that, you know? But the problem is he's kind of wrenching his thoughts away from this automatic response, this initial biological non-thinking response that happens. And so he doesn't want that to happen, but that's what he has to do, right? To take his thoughts captive and wrench them away, take his eyes and move them. But then let's just say he's in a workplace meeting. You know, the guys, the way they described it, they're like, you know, I can't sit there across the desk from her and have my hand up to block the view. And I can't do that. So the nucleus accumbens keeps firing and he keeps having to wrench his thoughts away. And he's having this little intrabrain war going on and he's not hearing a word she's saying. We actually found that when we did this little experiment that the men in this 90-second video, if they saw the version of this little video of presenting like four customer service suggestions, that if they saw the version of the video where the woman had cleavage, the percentage of men who remembered her 4 points dropped by 25%. And that's just with a 90-second video. And the men who remembered the points said it was because they could look down and take notes. And it's interesting. We women, we don't have that same response, so we don't get it. You know, if we see an attractive man, the nucleus accumbens doesn't light up. We think it's a thinking-oriented response from the beginning. We think, oh, he's an attractive man. We don't have this little intrabrain war. We do not know what that feels like. And so that's really what I tell a lot of women in my corporate events. I do a lot of corporate events now. Is this is one subject we often cover, is just realize, you know, he's not hearing what you're saying. It's not just that he won't respect you as much, which is an issue. You know, it's not just that you're having this temptation to fantasize, which he doesn't want, and you're causing a man to stumble, which is all true. Just from a self-interest perspective also, he's not hearing you.
Shanti Feldhahn surveyed women in the workplace, trying to figure out why some of them tend to choose immodest clothing. Was it because they thought dressing this way would help them get attention or get ahead at work?
The women on the survey who said that they did dress that way, because we had a control group of women who took the survey, and the women who said they did dress that way, that was not it at all. I think that it was still a high-ish number, like 20%, like were dressing that way because they officially wanted to feel sexually attractive. But most women were horrified upon learning what was going on in the man's brain. I mean, this is one of the reasons I do so much now with youth as well, to explain to the teenage girls this, you know, that this, it's not, because the girls think it's none of his business what I'm wearing. He shouldn't be looking, you know. And the way we describe it to them is it's equivalent visually, because he's so visually wired and because of this brain wiring that I just described. It's the equivalent of if you were walking through a mall and every man or every boy who passed you reached out to touch you. Touch, 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 touch. You know, and the girls are like, ew, you know, but that's, you're being stimulated over and over and over and over and over again. You don't want to be. That's what it's like for a guy in this culture.
That's Shanti Feldhahn. Yesterday, Shanti told us about some of the new research that's gone into the updated version of her book for women only. She explained why most men need time alone to think. So what does this mean to a wife who's waiting for a decision? Here's what research shows.
They have actually found that because the male brain, when I say they, I mean neuroscientists, brain scientists, have found that because of the way the brain structure in a guy is wired to do one thing deeply, deeply, deeply at a time, as opposed to a woman's brain structure, which is wired to do a surface kind of zip processing of a bunch of things and then go a little bit deeper of a bunch of things and a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper, but it's going kind of in circles downwards, whereas a guy is doing one thing at a time. What they have found is that the same signal in a woman's brain to have, like, for example, a thought and a feeling and to talk about it, that signal can pass instantaneously in her brain. And in a man's brain, that same signal can take up to 7 hours to pass. And it's because he's doing this deep, deep, deep chess match processing. And so if you say, you know, what are you thinking? And he says, I don't know what I'm thinking right now. And of course, I would always say, how can you not know what you're thinking? But if you're kind of demanding an answer before he has processed it, neither of you is going to end up with a good result, because he's going to feel backed up into a corner and not sure of what he's thinking yet. And like, he can't win this verbal sparring match with you. He's in this disadvantage. And you're going to get something that he hasn't thought through. You know, you might get an answer, but it won't be one that you're happy with or that he's happy with. And so a lot of women, I think, at night, we might get into an argument and want an answer right away. And we'll have such a better response if we will just okay, and give him till the next morning to process. You'll get a much better response over breakfast than you will right in the heat of it.
That's Shanti Feldhahn, who's recently released an updated edition of her book, For Women Only. And along with the book, we'd also like to send you a copy of a booklet called 30 Days of Encouraging Your Husband. This booklet describes a challenge you've been hearing about all this week on Revive Our Hearts. That challenge is, for 30 days, don't say anything negative about your husband. And for 30 days, say one positive thing about him each day. A listener named Allison took this challenge.
My husband, he originally went to school and to college to be a pastor. Right now he's working in a warehouse, and it doesn't have a lot of prestige, or, you know, it's a warehouse job, and he makes money to support the family and he does a good job, but it's not something you want to brag about or, ooh, look what job I have. And it really changed my perspective to be able to encourage him that God is using it even in his time now to prepare him for what God has down the road for him. And so it made me focus on looking for skills or talents that he was using in his job now that you could see that the Lord was cultivating for the future. I think that's really changed my heart, and it's encouraged him to fully embrace his job, you know, and to see his job as more of, that's where the Lord's called him, and that's his mission field for right now. That's where the Lord's called him to speak to people and to share with people and to minister with people, and he takes every opportunity he has now in his job to be faithful with the little that the Lord's trusted him with.
I'm so thankful for the way that God has used the 30-Day Husband Encouragement Challenge to affect Michael and Allison and so many other marriages like theirs. And I want to say that I hope every married woman who is listening to the sound of my voice today will take this same challenge over the next 30 days. Now, starting the 30-day challenge has never been easier, because we've created a booklet called 30 Days of Encouraging Your Husband. It'll give you fresh ideas on how to effectively build up your husband each day through the challenge. So when you send a donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts, we'll send you the booklet, 30 Days of Encouraging Your Husband. And we'll also add the book that our guest Shanti Feldhahn wrote, called For Women Only. You can make your donation of any size by contacting us at reviveourhearts.com or give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Now, finally, today, I want to acknowledge that every situation is unique. Today's discussion on outward beauty and physical needs of husbands is going to resonate differently with different women. Each person brings their own experiences and sometimes their own hurts to a topic like this. So I want to encourage you to just ask the Lord what He wants you to take away from today's program. And if you need some further help sorting these things out in your life or your marriage, why don't you consider approaching an older woman in your church or perhaps your pastor and his wife and ask them to help you think and pray through how to work out these issues in your specific situation.
Thanks, Nancy. And thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us today. Next week, we'll talk about an incredible opportunity to build God's kingdom. That opportunity, entering the empty nest years. I hope you can join us for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.